Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Love it. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne the Mummy Miller.
Let's start with a meta question.
Okay.
All right. So this is Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Yes.
What is our fascination with this mummy stuff?
Well, it goes back to our childhood. You know, it's been nearly 100 years. I think the very first mummy movie with Boris Karloff that looked like he had a sandblasted face, 1931, around the time he made Frankenstein. And Lee Cronin, I don't think he really deserved to have his name with the title. I think he did it because of the confusion with other mummies and stuff like
and
that.
And Brendan Fraser's coming out with one.
Yes, but it's not going to be released. I was reading it, not until 2028.
Oh.
But I was confused, and I was expecting, because I'd heard about Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz going to be in a new mummy movie, and I'm thinking, oh, is that it? But I think, boy, I haven't heard much about the production. Lee Cronin does not have, I think, the background right now in movies under his belt to deserve his name above the title.
Well, he's had a couple of winners.
Yeah, one winner, Evil Dead Rises, and he does have a knack. As we sat and watched this very graphically gory horror movie
called Lee Cronin's The Mummy,
what it really reminded me of, John, and I know we'll get into
later, and I know what you're going to say.
On, we did the review of Undertone. Same type of thing as Demon Possession, but that one I liked a lot more because it left so much to the imagination for me.
Now, Lee Cronin's is capital G Grizzly. The second half of this thing goes way, way over the top.
Oh, my God.
Peeling skin.
Oh, you're ruining my appetite. This is not something that you're going to buy your concession stand goodies, you know, candy and popcorn or whatever, because you may upchuck on your neighbor, you know. Yes, it is, especially it just goes off the rails, I think, in the last third
of
it.
I'm especially happy that you were my partner for this show, because you like these savage little movies about girls, about young girls who are possessed.
Oh, you know, it's so funny. And I think she was a standout in the movie, I believe. Both little girls, and particularly the little girl who has a loose tooth, then winds up plucking off the younger sister, off her teeth out of her mouth. I don't want to give away a lot.
And there's another teeth motif here in it, which we won't spoil.
Oh, no.
Because it's a good one. We hooted.
We hooted big time because of Grandma. Yes. And poor Grandma, who is cussed out like crazy by the little girl.
The idea of losing your little child, your child being abducted, is the biggest horror of anybody's life.
Yes, I could imagine.
And she's 8 years later till she comes back.
Oh, and looking like this little toy that I've got in front of me here, that she's all wrapped up, a bad case of lazy eye, the one eye drooping so badly. But she does such a good job. It's almost like how I get such a big kick out of everything from the little robot girl like Megan.
Oh, that's your favorite.
The little vampire girl and Abigail.
And the biggest one, which we'll discuss just a bit later.
Okay.
Exorcist.
This movie, and the one thing, if viewers are looking for a movie and they remember fondly, and I know we'll get into maybe some of them, which I did a lot of research on before I saw the movie, about mummy movies. If you're thinking it's going to be your typical mummy movie, think again. It is more like movies like anything dealing with the demon possession topic, like Exorcist, undoubtedly. And the 70s were ripe for movies like that. There was another good one called Audrey Rose that was about possessed girl.
And more recently, that family one, Conjuring.
Because I have that on my list. Conjuring, Amityville Horror. You know, there were a number of the demon possession
But what
ones.
We can say that Lee Cronin has done, he has taken it over the top visually. When you pour your eggs on their blood, you are doing some...
I know, and it's almost Hitchcockian because Hitchcock had a hatred of eggs. And so there were certain scenes that he had in movies. And I remember one where the villainous mother puts out her cigarette in an egg yolk. But there's kind of a metaphor there, I believe.
Well, for the hardcores, that last part of the movie is going to be terrific. It's going to be nectar. They're going to love it.
I think my niece, who's been a guest
what about
on
Beth?
The show,
yeah.
She'd love something
she
like
should.
This because, in a way, the little mummy girl kind of reminded me of her in her youth.
The beginning of the film, where you have one family, and then it segues into another family, was slightly confusing to me.
Well, and particularly the role of the one woman who is the main one, trying to kidnap kids. This is basically a group of Egyptians who, over the years, has gotten somebody to be the host to this demon possession of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian demon. And that's what Riot reminded me of, Undertone, that not an Egyptian demon, but an Old Testament demon. Both movies had a bit in common with that, but I think it's a prime example of the difference in filmmaking between Undertone and Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And as far as you can maybe get more dread, especially out of great sound effects, than you do with massive amounts of blood and flailing flesh.
With the emphasis on the gore, I found less Catholicism to go after it. You know how I usually glom onto that.
Yes, yes, you
and
do.
And I'm not finding that much.
No, no. You could, because it's not based on anything part of our Judeo-Christian upbringing. It's more dealing with spirits of the ancients, like Egyptian, or other type of deities like that. I know the Aztecs and Incas, you know, there's been movies made about some of their gods they worshipped before Columbus and the Europeans arrived in this hemisphere. Various things like that, but no. As far as any spiritual connection that we could make of it, I don't think you'll find
it.
Yeah, and
I agree. Yeah. And therefore, it was a bit of a mess for me.
Trying to figure it out. Over the top with gore. That great premise, but it's just going to take out a number of potential viewers just with some of that.
I found there were also, besides the humor that we always sickly find, kind of humorous, the way they meet her, the little girl, after 8 years.
Yes.
And they're Connie, you want to come back into the family? This is one gruesome kid.
If you've
seen any of these movies, you know you better get out of town.
You know, it's so funny. I'm glad that you brought that up because not only movies, but particularly TV shows. And I remember one in particular, Law and Order Special Victims Unit, where a young girl who had been kidnapped when she was like 6 or 7 years old and then is back in the family 10 years later. How do you deal with somebody like that? How do you, especially if they'd been abused and horrific things done to them? I was really surprised. I think the one thing that puts me off, and it did it with the original first time I saw The Exorcist, all of this stuff the girl had been through, and yet she does not have a lot of physical scars or anything that kind of shows for it. And even the little sister had plucked all of her teeth out of her mouth. And it looked like they must have gotten her she inherited her grandma's dentures.
Jack Rayner's part here as the TV reporter dad.
Yes.
Negligible. And as far as the movie goes,
another impotent, worthless dad.
Yeah,
figure.
Right. He reminds me a little bit of Seth Rogen in his wide-eyed look. Beyond that, he's the only one who believes that maybe they ought to put this kid away.
The mom won't hear anything about that. And then the brother.
Right.
But as she begins to take over basically the family, and not just take, they have especially the little sister and her brother that she grew up with. And I thought it was very interesting when the girl was abducted, the mom was pregnant. And so 8 years later, little 7-8-year-old sister, who's a hoot, really, who's a lot of fun, especially when she turns evil. And I'm thinking, is there anything that, like, Family and Child Services could do
yes,
for this
right.
poor little
girl? This is one time we really need.
Even uses the big C word, which, you know, I've heard him use the F word, but not the C word in a
well,
movie.
Wayne Miller, the movie is Lee Cronin's The Mummy. What do you recommend?
If somebody's thinking about seeing a typical mummy movie, no, don't go see it. Wait 2-3 years, I guess, now that the Brendan Fraser movie will be coming out. But if you really like gore and horror movies, which I know some of you, some of my family
members. How about
members
our buddy do, from Lenox, Sam? She's so looking forward to it. She loves this gore.
All right. She would. That's why they always say, be careful of the quiet ones.
Yes. Well, Wayne Miller, we're talking about Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Yes.
Besides The Exorcist, anything else come to mind now? You have a specialty with possessed young girls.
Well, at least the movies.
Yes.
Well, you know, we had already mentioned earlier, not only The Exorcist, but Audrey Rose, a really pretty decent one, an early movie of Anthony Hopkins. But also, John, there's several others that have been out there recently, like Hereditary, that was very good.
That's right.
Babadook, the Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah.
All those people wind up getting possessed. You know, that's why you got to be careful what young lady you may pick up at the bar, John, because they may be wind up being possessed.
I'm out of the game.
But I went back, 70s. It's almost like how some movies, the granddaddy, kind of like how Halloween is, that started a lot of the teeny bopper slasher movies, The Exorcist, 73, 74, I think it came out.
I think this movie is closely allied with The Exorcist.
Oh, very
much so. The possession of the young girl.
Yes, yes. And that's one, and that's where some people think, with our upbringing, because of the whole, the priest brought in to perform the exorcism. But the whole demon possession thing, and I had mentioned the whole thing about Undertone and how possession and Undertone was dealing with the mother on the tape, but then you think the mother in the house, the podcaster's mom. And
yeah.
Maybe the podcaster.
And but the difference, and I like your introducing it, because it's completely different from the movie that we're talking about. Well, and ours is visually grisly.
It is. Whereas the other one really preyed on your nerves with the sound effects, excellent use of cinematography, and we're talking about Undertone, and we had brought that up.
Yeah.
The dark murkiness of it, but also of the expectations that the blank space in the composition would be filled with something that may be terrifying. Here, we had that right from the beginning, and then multiple times later on. There's some scenes, and I knew something was coming up, at least a little bit of suspense buildup with the clipping of the toenails.
What a wonderful sequence.
Leading up to it. But then, horrifically, and it's kind of funny, the bandages wrapped around her began to fuse, which I've heard before, with people who have bindings on open wounds and how it will meld into the flesh. And this poor girl, near the end of the movie, she doesn't look like all that bad.
Right, yeah. Right. And talking about the visual element here, which I think is really paramount in Lee Cronin's movie, one that's completely different that terrifies me more, A Quiet Place.
Oh, okay.
I see that as the most modern horror film.
Yeah, in that respect, the aliens.
Yeah.
They're
lurking
don't have
out
eyes,
there.
But they have hearing that's off the scale, and so you have to be quiet around
and
that.
And so for people like you, this is a real horror because you can't talk.
The aliens would have eaten me within the first 5 minutes.
It's the worst possible thought for you. Another modern one that I really liked for its subtlety is The Menu.
Oh, okay, yes. That was
and
that was low-key, but kind of a... a foodaholic that you are, that your appreciation yes, of stuff. And I did enjoy that, too. Yeah, of course, it was a much different type of horror movie.
And that's why I think that our Lee Cronin's Mummy is a bit of a throwback in some ways, in that it relies so much on the visual, whereas the ones like The Menu are strictly in the head. I mean, what's he going to do?
Right.
And he's going to here to serve the people.
Yes. hey, kind of reminds me, I think probably one of our favorite, the both of us, one of our favorite Twilight Zone movies, To Serve Mankind.
Right, so I'm alluding to, I know.
Yes.
Another one that you and I find pretty horrific, but which we totally enjoy, is the little mice or rats in Nosferatu. I mean, these
yes.
These are worse than anything we could possibly think
of. Oh, my goodness. Well, and of course, in this movie, you know, Lee Cronin's The Mummy, you know, we've got the scorpions. And one of the scenes,
yes.
which was good.
Yes.
And one character I really liked in the movie was the Egyptian female police detective.
Yes, she's good.
She is very good.
Yes.
But, wow, as she has a scorpion stuffed down her gullet. That begins eating its way. I mean, you talk about like one of those tracheotomies or whatever that is performed.
And for me, the more modern of the horror films that you and I have been impressed with in a couple of its iterations, 28 Days Later.
Oh, yes, yes. With
man, this is really sophisticated stuff, I think.
That was good, yeah. And I had kind of a series to build on. And what's funny, talking about a series, the one movie of note of Lee Cronin's before this one, Evil Dead Rises, basically the whole Evil Dead series of movies is basically about possession in a way. Mm-hmm. And so they think that a lot of people, ooh, this is more along the lines of the Evil Dead movies. We're very graphic. And what's interesting, we talked about too much, possibly, about Undertone. But the director of that I was so impressed with has been asked to reboot the Evil Dead series.
Good one. Good
yeah.
one.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's why it's kind of interesting.
Well, you could go back.
Think that they would throw Lee Cronin back into the Evil Dead genre.
And going back to our early days, Rosemary's Baby back in 1968.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was... It's not so much the demon possession, it's the demon impregnation, which has been used in a lot of different
movies. And the whacked out neighbors and so on.
Oh, my goodness.
So much subtlety going on there without the visual gore.
You know, and it's kind of funny, since I brought up the whole thing about The Exorcist being the harbinger of the possession movies, because it came out about 5 years or so before The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, that really, because the subtle graphic horror aspects of that really bothered a number of...
And yet
I was in college at the time, and so a Christian college, and several kids, their faith was rocked by seeing that movie and going back and thinking they were, oh, what can we do to keep from being possessed ourselves?
One of our colleagues, K.G. Klein in particular, is offended by the treatment of the young girl in Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
The young girl that was the mummy?
Yes.
Not her little sister.
No.
But
that in the treatment of her and the way she's depicted, and it didn't strike me at all when I'm watching it, because I can accept it for all of it. He believes there's abuse going on there of the actress to have that.
Oh, in the film itself.
Right. He's surprised that there's not a code in Hollywood or something like that. I try to tell him suspension of disbelief is paramount here. And you've got to know that there's so much that shenanigans that can go on with the camera and the editing and so on, that there's no need to be offended by it. But he is truly offended. I thought it was an interesting take.
Well, that is, you know, in a way, like I had said earlier, not so much her, but her little sister, who uses a C word, who cusses like a sailor, and then is kind of like inherited a bit of a possession and begins pulling her teeth out. You know, Ken may be onto something.
Well, I think he is. And because filmmaking and the art of it, have so many different avenues to approach it.
Right.
If you're good, you can see it. And that's why I was longing for a little more religiosity in our movie, because I always love to get onto that. But there's plenty more thematically. The destruction of the family is prominent in these days.
Oh, yes. Yeah, especially how a family could be torn apart by not only a death, a horrific, like murder, a crime, death of one of their children, but if a child is missing and they're never found, the devastating effects
that would be
there's no sense of closure. Even if it isn't the murderer arrested, there's at least they have the body that they could bury.
Yes,
they know what happened. But when the child's missing.
All right, Wayne Miller, the movie is Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Yes.
What do you suggest?
If you really like your graphic horror movies, it could be for you.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about any of the lineage of long mummy movies.
And horror movies. There's a whole line of sophisticated that come before this. But for Sam at the Lennox and all those aficionados.
Niece Beth.
And your niece Beth.
Yes. Yes. She'd be the only one that would hoot and holler as a little kid if I brought this for viewing on Christmas night for the family.